Yes, the heat's on.
The heat is on.
It's great to be back with everybody. On the guest line today is Margot Lenmark is with us. She's the author of the popular book, Light in the Morning, Memoirs of an Undertaker's Daughter. And Margot, how are you today?
Fine, thank you. It's so nice to be on your show.
Oh, it's so nice to have
great
you
great to have you here.
Thank you.
This is an interesting topic for me because I certainly believe in that we do get messages from people have departed this world, and I've encountered that myself. So, but you have it from a unique experience, and you've lived. Your father was an undertaker, I understand, and so you lived with that.
Yes, he was. He owned a funeral home. We didn't live in the funeral home, but we certainly spent a lot of time there. And so, yeah, I think I've had a lot of experience with people coming to me after they die because I'm very comfortable with the idea of death. I've been around it so much, and so it's kind of second nature to me in a way, in some funny way, you know.
Why is it that in our culture that we tend not to want to talk about people dying or what happens after people die?
Well, I think people are really afraid of death. I think it's a real taboo concept in our country because we don't have a lot of tradition around it. There are cultures that have lots of tradition around mourning and rules about mourning and taking a year and doing whatever you do, but we don't have much of that here. And so I think people have just put it on the sidelines and they actually go into denial about it. I mean, I know people who have been dying who didn't know they were dying. They didn't accept that they were dying, and people in the family wouldn't talk about it. And I'm like, you know, your husband is dying. Do you realize that? Don't you want to go be with him? And they were all in denial. And it's really an odd thing in this country. I agree with you that it's strange that we don't deal with it well, very well.
Yeah, I spent some time when my mother was in the hospital, and the person in the next bed, she was dying, and they had the family around her, and they were celebrating the fact that she was dying, and they were talking about how she was going to meet Uncle Tim and Aunt Sarah, and you know they were going to have this big party.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I thought it was at the time kind of bizarre, but in reflecting upon it, I think it was kind of refreshing, you know.
I think it is too. You know, a lot of times people feel like their parents are kind of losing it right before they die. I just had an experience with a good friend of mine whose mother just died, and she was a good friend of mine. So I wanted to go visit her, and my girlfriend said, "No, don't. She's very disoriented. It'll really cause confusion." Well, my other friend, who didn't get the memo, so to speak, went to see her. And I'll tell you, it was so interesting because their report back to me was how she was in this space. And I believe there is a space between right when you're dying, in certain cases, right before you're dying, that you're in this, what I'm now calling this God space, where you're not quite, your body is still alive, but your soul has almost passed over, and you're in this in-between space of almost all-knowingness. My friend came back and she said, "Oh my gosh, Ruth just, I walked in the room and Ruth said she knew exactly my purpose of life on earth and she was going to grant me that ability to be that." And then she started talking to them very profoundly about their life and took their stress away. She said, "Come here, let me touch your forehead." And she did. And Bruce said his stress just left his body and he felt so relieved. And I mean, it was really amazing. And so I think if we start to pay attention to people who are dying, or really pay attention to the whole process of dying, I think we're going to be much better off. I think it's a really cool thing that happens before people die if we become more aware and more tuned into it.
And I think many people have this regret because we don't talk about it. Even though it's going to happen to every one of us, we're born and then at some point we're going to die. And I think the sadness of it is that is the loss of what we've known. It's the loss of a parent, a friend, whatever. And in some cases, it's a loss that we regret. So, how do we deal with that?
You have really hit one of the core points of my book. This is why I wrote the book. I mean, there's many reasons why I wrote it, because when these people came back to me to tell me what was important about life, I mean, isn't that what we all want, is for our loved ones to come back and tell us what's important, in life? Well, that's what happened. And when they did, I realized it's really important to pass this information along, because people really should know this. And one of the really big points I make in the book is this thing you're talking about, regret. And that is that, once somebody dies, there is nothing you can do about it. You can't go back to them. You can't tell them you love them. You can't resolve that situation. That's it. And you can't go back and do anything. And that is one of the hardest things to live with, is the haunting regret that you can't go back and change something. So one of the points of my book is to resolve everything with everyone. And I mentioned in the book how I now live with death kind of sitting on my shoulder, if you will. I live with death as an advisor, knowing that person in front of me could be gone in 1 second. They could disappear. They could die right in front of me. And I wouldn't have the chance to go back to them to tell them I love them or tell them how I felt or resolve anything with them. And I live every moment like that now. I know that this moment could be my last, and so I'm making it, I make sure I make it my best. I'm making sure that this is my best interview in case I don't live through it.
Well, thank you.
You know what I mean? But it's really, you're
welcome.
Thank you
for having that attitude. I think it's a great attitude to have.
Well, I think it's a really important attitude, because I can't think of a worse pain. I've got a chapter called A Worse Pain Than Death. And that's a chapter about regret. So I think you really are bringing up some important points for people, for those of us who are still alive. They're really important points to really live fully, to really live your best, to really live with everything resolved, to live with full expression to people about how you feel. There's just no more room for waiting to live your life in the best way you can anymore. And there's no excuse to do it anymore, because now I have my book out and they can read it and they'll know why not to.
Absolutely.
And they can listen to your interview.
Absolutely. It's so many people, if someone is elderly and they've lived, 80, 90 years, that's a pretty good life. I just went to a funeral of a friend of ours, a friend of the family, and he was 94 years old, and it still was very sad. It's sad for family members that, are missing them, but we don't get many more years than that, So
that's right. That's right.
So how do you deal with that?
Well, it's always sad. It's always sad because we are losing that physical presence of that person. No matter what, they're gone. And so no matter how cosmically you look at death, no matter if you think that there's life after death, no matter if you think they're going to heaven, no matter what you're thinking, you still have that physical body that is not on the planet anymore, and you can't talk to them. You can't call them up. You can't go see them. You can't love them. You can't do anything anymore. So there's always that level of sadness. And there is a way to grieve really well, I think. And I cognized it literally at my brother's funeral. I really got the whole point of grieving. And I put a chapter in my book. It's the shortest chapter. It's only 2 pages, but it's called Good Grief.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, and I think it really, if you really kind of sync with that and hear what I'm saying, you'll really understand the importance of grieving properly. It's important to grieve. It's important to let their soul know that they were deeply loved, you know. But then it's also important at some point that that grieving lessen, and it will if you grieve it right. And that means, you know, letting yourself really go through whatever process it is, and everybody's a little bit different. But when you grieve that person, you're actually, I mean, I'm sure you did this at the funeral where you were, you kind of thought about that person, and you remembered something about them, you know, and you kind of let yourself go. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you just see yourself staring off and thinking about that person. You remember the last time you saw them or some great memory. And you just allow yourself to experience all that about the person. And then you, by doing it properly, you really incorporate that person into your heart. And that's how they live on in us. That's our connection to the eternal, I think. I really think that's our real divine little connection there is with that person in our heart. Even though I believe that their soul lives on, there's two ways that they live on. Their soul lives on, and they live on with it within us in our memory.
Yeah, absolutely. And they live on with the fact of what they taught us, you know, and I always say this, that, you know, the people that came before me and taught me things, and you know, so I'm living and remembering what they taught me, and hopefully I'm using what they taught me wisely.
Yes, exactly. That is another really great point I make in the book, and that is that, you know, when somebody dies and you don't have that physical body anymore, there's something that happens where you get to see that person for exactly how they were and who they were to you. You get to see that person fully. When you actually stop and grieve that person, you see way more of them than you even could when they were alive on the earth. Because, you know, when you're alive, you're in your body, you've got all your circumstances, you're just, there's so much happening. But when they leave, there is this moment when you get to fully appreciate that person, and part of appreciating them is getting from them their gift. And everybody has a gift for us. Everybody has something that they teach us. And if you're really tuned into that when somebody dies, you will get something, and you will be a bigger, better person because of that. You will see that in them. You will get how important that quality is, and you just automatically incorporate it into yourself. And I think that's part of the evolutionary process of people coming into our lives and moving out of our lives. I think that's how we take them with us. You're making so many great points in this interview. You guys are great.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I may have. Did I write the book? I don't know.
Maybe you did.
I don't know.
Maybe I stole it from you.
No. Maybe we're I'm channeling you. I'm channeling what you've already written. So
maybe so.
Maybe so.
Maybe so. I hope so. I didn't plagiarize you.
No. I don't think so. I don't think so. But yeah. Should we be sad, or should we be celebrating the person's life? That's always comes into my mind. But one of the things at funerals that, and I had this conversation with some of my relatives just a few weeks ago, and I said, you know, this is right after attending a funeral, and I said, you know, it was nice because they said some nice things about the person, but they also said some things that were realistic about the person. You know, not that they were mean, but they
They were human, you know, like they made mistakes.
They made mistakes, you know, and this is the way the person was. So I said to my relatives that I was talking to, I said, you know, hopefully you'll eulogize me and you'll say nice things, but you'll also be realistic and say some things that are not nice about me. And my sister-in-law said to me,
I'll be the first in line.
I'll be the first in line. And I said, what? What did I do to you?
That's really funny.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, but should we be doing that at a funeral? You know?
Well, that's a really delicate issue, isn't it?
Yeah.
First of all, I think you should be happy and sad. I mean, obviously you're sad when somebody dies. There's no question about that. But there's also a joy in remembering them. And, you know, you go, you know, for a while after somebody dies, you flip back and forth between being sad and happy and sad and happy, mostly sad, but then a little happy, then a little happier and less sad. You know, there's kind of this progression. But I think it's really fun to talk about somebody at a funeral, to bring up the points that everybody knows about them, but in a funny way. I think that's part of what a funeral is about, you know, to bring up not to be mean, but I mean, your sister-in-law could say it in such a way that everybody go, yeah, and they'll really laugh because, you know, we all know that we have those parts of us. And if somebody can bring it up in a fun way, then it's honored in a way, you know.
Absolutely.
Your little idiosyncrasy.
Where can our listeners purchase a copy of your book?
Oh, thank you for asking. On Amazon, Light in the Morning, MOURNING, Memoirs of an Undertaker's Daughter. They can get it in Kindle and paperback. And they could go to my website, which is www.lightinthemorning.com, and they can find it there too.
I have to tell you this. My brother-in-law was an Undertaker, and very early in his career, he lived on top of in an apartment on top of the funeral home. So we went to visit him one time when my daughter was really young, and I thought the whole thing was a little creepy. So, you know. But I said, well, you know, I'm not going down to where he's working, you know, where there are bodies there, obviously. But my daughter was very curious, so she actually went downstairs.
And you had to run after her?
No, she went down with him, you know, and she wanted to see what was going on down there, you know. So.
Oh, that's funny. What did she think? Did she come back spooked? Or?
No, not at all. Not at all. Okay. She's fine with it, you know. She was fine.
Yeah, well, there's an innocence when you're younger, and when you see bodies and stuff in a funeral home when you're younger, there's some innocence because it's just part of life.
Mm-hmm.
It's just part of life. Death is, you know.
Well, you know, I believe the soul doesn't die. I believe there is energy that we have in our bodies, and you can't kill energy, so.
Yes,
it goes.
Correct.
You know, we have molecules and atoms, and they go somewhere. You know, so
that's right.
Yeah, so
flying over our heads in a million pieces.
Yeah, so
yeah, I agree. I believe the body dies and the soul lives on, which is why the last line of my book is a quote from my brother, and it was like, "I didn't die."
Yeah.
So I agree with you. I think the soul lives on. I'm quite sure of that. And we have so much kind of proof of it. I mean, there's just too many people out there that have had experiences of people after they've died come back to them. And so I think it's hard to deny that concept anymore. I think it's pretty well accepted, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Well, I do, and I think most religions deal with this. In Judaism, they, you know, we're told taught that don't be too concerned about death. You know, live while you can live, and do good deeds while you're alive, and you know, don't be overly concerned about dying and death. And I think those are wise words. You know,
yes.
Don't be consumed by it. Don't be consumed by grief. You know, so.
Yep, I totally agree. And that's another reason I wrote the book, because I really feel like it's important to know what's important in life. And, you know, we should be obsessed with just living this wonderful life, the best life we can live, and just totally enjoy it. So when people ask me what my book is about, certainly it's about death, but it's more about life. And it's even more about time and how we spend our time while we are alive. Because it's really important. It's important to really enjoy our life. It's a gift. And I agree. I think we should not be obsessed with the grieving, and I think we should let these souls go when they die. We should grieve, certainly, but then get over it and let go of them so that they can move on and we can move on, and everybody can be in their best place after someone goes.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Both us who are living and them who have moved on, the soul who's moved on.
Yeah, I had an uncle who, you know, he would take you on a tour of the of a cemetery where you know, our ancestors were buried, and he would tell you a story about, even though you never met this person, he would tell you a story about each individual, you know, a little story about them, and It really made it come alive, you know, made that person come alive, you know. So I think as long as you keep, people in your memory, and again, you know, they never really, really go away. They never really die, so.
That's right. There's a quote that, and I don't remember who it's from. I should find out. But the quote says, "When do the dead die? When they are forgotten."
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
Yeah, that's what makes, I believe, sense. Is that, yeah, as long as they live on in our heart, they're alive in us.
You that's know? Right.
Margot, I want to thank you for stopping by today and being a guest on the show. This was very inspirational, by the way. It's
thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it's hard to talk about the subject, but but it's also very uplifting, very inspirational, at least for me. I hope hope everyone else found it this way.
Yeah, I hope so too. You all have a great attitude about it, and it's really been fun to talk to you about it.
Thank you. And have a great holiday season.
Thank you. You all do too, and thanks so much for having me on your show.
Okay.
No problem. Come on back sometime.
Come on back, yeah.
Okay, thanks. I'd love to. Anytime.
All right.
Very good.
Thank you.
And we're going to be right back after these words.